Your social media feed delivers plenty of advice, but it doesn't know you. It doesn't ask questions. It doesn't give physical exams or order tests. Doctors do. At the American Medical Association, we believe the best care starts with a real conversation with someone who understands the science and your unique health. So stay curious, ask questions, but when it's time to make decisions, make them with a doctor. Learn more at AMAHealthVsHype.org. That's AMAHealthVsHype.org.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The jury, as of this recording, is still out. They've already come back once and said, we can't get to a verdict. The judge has sent them back. Bob Mata, defense attorney, is with us, along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent. So let's play it out. Let's go down the scenario of they do come back with a hung jury. There is no verdict. Will the Commonwealth try this again? We were talking in another segment about you can't do a bench trial on a first-degree murder charge. Do they recharge it to go to a bench trial just so we can get through this damn thing with some sort of conclusion? Or do they keep hitting their head against a wall over and over and Lindsay Clancy is going to be tried until she's in her 80s? My prediction is she probably makes an exit on her own fruition before we get there. But what do you think happens here, Bob, if they do have a hung jury?
I don't know. I honestly, I've been saying before the trial started, I've told you, like, and we've agreed on that. Like, I've practiced for a long time, and I can't think of a more difficult case for a jury to try to reach a verdict on. And it's basically because of the things we've been talking about in our last two segments. You have people of the mindset, like, you know, I mean, we could just look through our chat, you know, Palm Tree G wanting help and actually following through properly on that help are two different things. And Lindsay Clancy neglected the latter part. I disagree completely. I absolutely disagree completely. I think she did. I'm going to go ahead and take Lindsay's mother-in-law, Sue Clancy's word over yours, Palm Tree, and what she said on the stand when she testified on behalf of her ex-daughter-in-law who had ended the life of her grandchildren was that begging for help. She went, she called the suicide hotline twice. They said, well, you don't have a plan. We're going to give you some resources. Here's a pamphlet. Good luck with that. She tried to get into the postpartum program at Women's and Children in Rhode Island. They said they took her in for a day. They said, unfortunately, we can't allow you into the program because you're over-medicated. She went in for 5 days at a skeleton crew at McLean. And basically, she said, you know, I'd like to get home for my kid's birthday. He said, well, you know, you seem like you're doing better. Pats her on the head and gets her out. When she was there, the therapy she received was, you know, doing a little coloring, playing with some clay. And
yeah, I thought that was interesting. Coloring in clay.
Once we're able to tell ourselves that we're attending to them, they're getting their service and we're checking a box, but we're not actually checking what we're checking the box for. That's
we
become a society of check the box so we feel good and we can tell ourselves we've done the right thing. But what's actually being done is shit.
Bob, I got a question for you.
I would ask Palm Tree, what else should she have done?
Well, and that's my question. So Coffin Duffer asked me a question yesterday I didn't have an answer for because I couldn't think of anything. I want to know if you have one. Coffin Duffer asked, so did Lindsay do anything wrong?
Ever, is basically. No, did she do anything wrong throughout this entire ordeal?
I think she underreported. But she underreported because that's how women are. But everyone, every woman, if you talk to women that have gone through it and are talking about how they don't feel comfortable bringing forth everything that they may be going through out of fear of consequences, whether it be I lose my kids, I lose my nursing license, my husband leaves me. I get sectioned and I'm stuck in a like all those really that to me, that's where this lives. There has to be legislation. I have somebody on my live right now. Her name's Lisa Tremaine. She has an amazing clinic and she's got 47 women in there with their kids right now that she brings them all in. She brings in the women. They're allowed to report fully what's going on with them with no repercussions. It's all confidential. The kids are there, so they continue the mother-child bond. The women are monitored constantly. They then bring in the families. What this woman is doing is incredible. And that woman, Lisa Tremaine, who is based out of New Jersey, she saves lives. Hmm. If Lindsay Clancy had been aware of Lisa Tremaine and had gone in, And even just brought Callan with her so that she could work it through, whether it takes, and they live there. Mm-hmm. They live in this in this center and they receive the treatment on a daily basis. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. When they're good, that's when they leave. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it takes a week, if it takes months. That's what was missing here. Yeah. And it's what's missing all over this country. And for me to see women that turn on a woman who clearly was going through it, because there's one thing that's not a debate anymore. Like everybody agreed, she had a mental disease or defect. Now people are, the sides are arguing about exactly what it was, but there was no question in terms of this case that she had a mental disease or defect at the time of these homicides.
Everyone agreed.
So, for me, man, it's like my hope has been that these children, these beautiful children that lost their lives, who we all care about. There's no more disgusting comment than saying that when we're talking about trying to focus on stopping this from happening in the future and using this case as the jump-off point to really have the discussions and have the law changed so that women can feel free to do what Lisa Tremaine is doing. Because women don't feel like they can be completely honest about what's going on for all the reasons that I just discussed. So when they underreport, this is the result you can get. Now, this is obviously the worst case scenario. And this was, you can't forget the fact that we're like in the second year or in the middle of the, I don't know what, like a year and a half into the shutdown and we're just coming out of it. Telemedicine had become the norm.
Yeah,
because that was the only way. It was this perfect storm of shit that was going on. On top of the fact that she just wasn't receiving the treatment that she needed. You can't just throw drugs at people without the other part of it, which is the actual therapy. You can't have it where if she says I'm having intrusive thoughts and you ask one question about it. Well, what? Oh, well, of like harming myself or my kids. And then you don't follow up and say, well, I need details. Like any good doctor is going to say, I need more. I need to hear everything that you're thinking. Like that never took place with her, and I don't know what she's disclosing to her mother or her husband. We know from her journal, that she was feeling the distance between her and Pat growing because this had been going on for 4 months. A woman is going to be conscious of the fact that like, you know, I've been going through this for 4 months and I'm like torturing my husband. And, you know, I get the arguments that Pat should have said, you know what, fuck it. You get into that bed and you get right. I want to take care of everything. And like, and that's a fair argument.
And it
that's
wasn't
a fair
just him, assessment. Though. The whole family stood by her. That's what is still the most unbelievable thing to me. When everyone argues anything on this, that with their opinion on the outside, I said, I stand with the family. I stand with the family on what their assessment of her was, because it's, I've never seen anything so congruent. I'm curious what it's going to look like at sentencing, no matter what happens, when the victim impact statements get up. They stand with her. They saw something was wrong. They saw the break, you know, after the fact, because again, everyone's got the armchair quarterback going, you know, after everything happened. And there's no unhealthy wobbles prior to that on behalf of family or observers.
I'm a northerner, but I live in the South now, and so I've actually taken up a colloquialism of the South. Bless your heart, yeah. During this, and that's something I never used in my life. I never really know what it meant. I know what it means now, and I've been
saying
it a lot.
That means you're a nutter.
Well, it means you have no experience.
It means it pretty much means that. It means essentially you say it when someone has no clue what the hell they're talking about, but they really think they know what they're talking about. Right. And there's so many people in this case that are watching it, and bless your heart, everyone is free to their own opinion without a doubt, but you can so spot someone who has never had any experience in their life with mental health crises of their own or people immediately around them by the way they react to this case. And bless your heart that you've never had that. Thank God you've never had that, because I too was just as ignorant as some of these comments before I encountered the insanity of what mental health crises can be like in your life. And you start trying to understand them and you try to start making sense of it and you learn a lot more and you educate yourself a lot more and you end up with a very different understanding than the kind of closed off world that we all come into until we're actually confronted with these sort of nightmares head on. And once you've hit it head on, you don't ever see things the same way again. And there's a lot of people who, again, bless their hearts, have never had to be there. Consider yourself fucking lucky. Oh, just man. Consider yourself lucky.
Preach.
Shut the fuck up.
Preach.
It's kind of, that's right. It's kind of what people, I feel
and
like.
There's,
I
mean, there's people out there saying, God bless it. You know, bless their hearts to the three of us too, I'm sure.
So. Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure like, they're too, but you know what?
Chicken Chow Mein saying it.
Right. Fucking lived it. So I can speak on it a bit. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's, living in a world with someone who's going, I never had postpartum psychosis with a partner, but I had depression that she was going through and a bunch of other shit too. And oh my God, I mean, it is, I have a ton of empathy for Patrick and everybody who's like, you should have done this. You should have done that. Should he have checked with you on TikTok first before he took a breath? And then went out and had a night to himself to breathe after 3 children and postpartum every time, and the headache and the nightmare and the emotionally, you know, soul destroying moments that come along with it. Should he have never done anything to take a breath for himself? Should he have not found love in 3 years? And 3 years too soon? I mean, it's just fucking maddening
to try to fill the gaping hole
in their lives with attacking someone else trying to find sanity.
The loss of the 3 children, the loss of his wife, because that's not his wife that's still alive. And then I still can't, because again, we're talking about the war issue and people in combat, the survivor's guilt he must have. I can't even fathom, you know, because all these things that people are piling on him on, do you think he hasn't thought that a million times over the last 3+ years, every single day of his life that he, I mean, how could he not think in terms of, if I had only done this, I'd have 3 babies still? How can, let alone the loss of them. So that's why, like, when I lost my cool on Friday with that same comment, yeah. I lose it on these things when don't ever assume how parents feel about their kids and place your own shit on it, because you are way off the mark.
Well, it's a good thing Karen in Paducah is here to keep us all on the up and up.
Look, man, I just want to say this before we wrap. I am so, so thankful that you two guys in particular are in my life, especially in a case like this. It's It can feel lonely out there.
Yes,
as a man, you know, speaking on this, because in terms of postpartum, we have no fucking business talking about it.
Yeah.
But in terms of the importance and the understanding of mental health and mental illness, man, to have two guys like you that are of the same mindset is so fucking important to me. So I thank you
and both likewise,
for being the men that you are.
Try being a law enforcement guy, former FBI, standing like this. I'm standing against everyone.
Yeah,
as well, man. It's just crazy.
And everyone who's standing up and really taking the time, I really appreciate. I do. You know, this is an interesting case where a lot. I mean, and there is a lot of dig in, and people aren't going to change their opinions. But honestly, I've in this case more than others recently, I have seen from a lot of comments of I went into it this way. And you know what? I'm thinking about it differently because I educated myself.
And
that's good. That's all I ask. All anyone asks is just take the time, absorb the information, let it stew a little bit, and then come out. Don't come back with the bumper sticker answer the moment you hear the name.
And no
take a moment.
And we're not trying to say free her. No, I want her locked away and getting help. The only add is that I'm adding the end getting help, you know, but locked away. Hell yeah. What are you? Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone. That's where
she
we're
needs
all
to be locked
this.
Away and hell get the yeah. help that she needs. Yeah. All right. No we'll wrap it up. Your thoughts in the comments section. Bob, you're still live over on Defense Diaries right now.
Indeed.
Let's send him over there. Go check out Defense Diaries right that's after this. You're going to be continuing over there, and I'm sure the conversation's going to be great. So continue the live coverage and watch it over on Defense Diaries and press subscribe wherever you get the podcast. Robin, he has a new masterclass out.
Oh, yeah.
It just dropped late last week. Robin, tell them more.
Yeah, my class on masterclass is be the person everyone trusts. How do you become the person everyone trusts? Critical thinking, basically what we're talking about here is how do you have deep empathy to understand other people from the standpoint so you can make those connections and be the person that everyone wants in their lives and trust.
I'll put the link in the description or a masterclass. Search Robin Dreek and you will find his class. So go check that out. All right, press subscribe. We'll continue our conversation in the comments. Go over to Defense Diaries if you're watching us right now, and you'll pick up more coverage over there.
Listen to Buried.
And Buried too. All right. Until next time, for Robin, for Todd, for Bob, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The Lindsey Clancy trial is reaching its climax. A hung jury appears to be increasingly likely. A mistrial would mean the charges remain, the evidence remains, and the woman at the center of all of it is still sitting at Tewksbury Hospital waiting to find out what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts plans to do. It looks like nobody is going to get a clear verdict from this trial if that's where it goes. Not the public, not the families, not Lindsey Clancy herself. Today, we're joined by defense attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis to walk us through the potential road ahead if a mistrial is in fact declared, how quickly we'd know if there's a second trial, whether the defense has options nobody's talking about, and what a plea deal even looks like in a case where the whole argument is that the defendant wasn't responsible for what she did. Eric, if a mistrial is officially declared and the jury is sent home, what happens to Lindsey Clancy? Is it true? Does she just go back to Tewksbury and they figure out what happens next, or until the next hearing or trial? What are the possibilities there? I guess how quick does a DA decide we're going to try this again, go back to the hospital, or you're free?
Sure. So I don't think it's going to be a you're free outcome. I think what's going to happen if there is a mistrial, there are a number of steps that are going to take place. First, the judge is, unless the prosecution has already made the decision as to whether or not to retry, the judge would probably set a hearing like a week after the mistrial. Say, hey, prosecutor, you got a week. Think about this. Are you going to seek a retrial or not? If a retrial is sought, then Lindsey Clancy throughout that week and throughout the pendency of the retrial would probably remain in custody. My understanding is that she's at some mental health facility, but under like law enforcement supervision. And so she could ask for a bond. She could absolutely ask for a bond, and Reddington could go to the judge and say, hey, look, this case, it shows how many weaknesses there are in this case. You know, they had all of this time. They couldn't bring it together. They couldn't get a conviction. Because of these weaknesses, you should have less concern about Lindsey Clancy. She is probably going to prevail in the second trial, is what Rennington would argue. Therefore, you should give her a bond. You should let her be out of custody. She's already gone through this crucible. That's what defense would argue. I think a judge would be hard-pressed to release Lindsey Clancy pending a new trial. Now, if no new trial is sought, then there is no case pending. And in that instance, Lindsey might be free.
But what about her care, I guess, is the question. She's already stated before this trial, you know, I want to be essentially in state care or in a mental hospital for the rest of my life. That's kind of where that sits. Let me ask you this from a strategic standpoint. If we do have a hung jury, yes, Rennington could come say, you know, and ask for bond that could get Lindsey out of Tewksbury. I don't know that Lindsey wants to be out of Tewksbury, or at least out of a environment where she is getting that sort of round the clock care. Right now it's state sanctioned, it's state paid for. If you're out of that, guess what? You better have the money to pay for that care for the rest of your life. And the optics, because if this does go to another trial, and she's out on bond, half of the argument has been, look, she doesn't want to leave the mental hospital. If she left the mental hospital between trials, that kind of takes that argument away that actually does play in her favor. Wouldn't she be better off remaining in the psychiatric facility, at least through some sort of determination here in a legal sense, versus bonding out for a time being if we were to go to a second trial?
I think absolutely it would be in her best legal interest to be there, in part because it preserves that argument that, hey, she's doing everything she could. She's seeking all the treatment she can seek. Like, she's trying her darndest to get a grasp on this. It preserves that argument for defense later on. If she were released from the facility but wanted additional care, you can always seek to commit yourself. You can say, hey, I think I'm a danger to myself and others. State, help me. And sometimes you will be accepted into programs, sometimes not. So there are ways for her to remain in there if she wants to, but probably not forever unless that is the result of a legal proceeding.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm looking up the stats on the probability of getting bail bond after this anyway, too. So stand by as it comes in.
Yeah. There's obviously, the jury is signaling deep divisions here. The judge read them. The Tui Rodriguez charge, which essentially tells the jury that no future panel will hear better evidence than they did. Okay. I mean, neat. If I'm on the jury and I hear that, I'm like, yeah, no shit. And they're still struggling. I know this is how it's done there in Massachusetts, reading that charge out to them. Does it make a difference? Does that, hey guys, ain't gonna get better than this. Does it put weight on a jury to make a decision, or is it just like another no shit moment for the jury?
That is such a concern. It is the potential coercive effect from such an instruction. So let me give you an example. Let's say back there are 11 not guilty and one guilty. And this one guilty just firmly believes, hey, she is guilty. This is my determination as a juror after hearing everything. Well, if the jury then goes to the judge and says, hey, we're deadlocked. And the judge says, keep trying, go back. And then they come again and they say, hey, judge, we're still deadlocked. We tried. It's not changing. And the judge says, why don't you go back? You're going to have to finish this. The jury doesn't necessarily know that if they go back a third time, a mistrial is likely to be determined. Instead, maybe that one holdout who thinks they're guilty just says, how am I getting out of here? I'm not getting out of here unless I change my position. I could be here, who knows, for days, weeks on end. Yeah. I've already been here for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm going to cave. I'm just going to change. I got to go on with my life. And that is a very real concern, I think, for both sides in terms of the possible course of effect of that instruction.
How do you avoid that? I mean, so help me understand what this and what's the thing that he invoked, the judge, because that tomb, the Tewksbury,
Tewksbury Rodriguez, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So what exactly is that? And what are the consequences to the jurists at this point, if any?
Sure. So yeah. So what that means, Robin, is that the jury goes and says we're deadlocked. The court says, hey, I get it, guys. This is tough. But no one is in a better position to decide this case. And what you should do is you should reconsider your views. You should be open-minded to other people's expression of their views. And you should not relinquish any strongly held beliefs if you firmly believe one thing or the other. So it's kind of just like, hey, keep thinking about it, bro. And, you know, how helpful is that? And what effect could that have on jurors who, like I said, they're not advised that if they come back a third time deadlocked, it's likely a mistrial. They don't even know that could be the outcome. And so the jurors are probably back there thinking, they're not going to let me out of here unless somebody caves and I got to get on with my life. And that would be a perversion of the jury system in my mind.
And so that couldn't be used by Reddington, but I'm learning from you, Eric. So that could not be used from Reddington as a reasons for appeal unless there's evidence that it actually did influence one. In other words, as long as they came back and they did all agree, Reddington has no appeal. Unless through a podcast interview or something, one of the jurors says, yeah, you know, when he came in the third time, I felt the pressure and I just wanted to get out of there. Is that then enough for a reason for appeal?
They would probably need some kind of statement from some juror, however limited, that said, hey, you know, I changed my mind in part because of the pressures that I felt associated with this instruction, associated with this process.
So I'll riff on that one deeper. Say there's a juror that is completely, or a couple, completely sick to death of being here, the stress, the time, the agony, the contentiousness, that says, hey, I'm going to end this right now by agreeing. And then in their mind, they said, and then I'm going to go public with it so they can retry and get my way.
That would be thoughtful in terms of forward thinking and in terms of a plan. But yes, a juror could choose to do that and then sort of upend the whole thing. We've seen cases upended by juror statements after trials before.
Has that happened? Have you seen that happen intentionally?
I can't say that I have, but there's gazillions of trials and I'm only aware of a very small percentage of them.
Couldn't truly be a strategy because, I mean, if there was an attorney that was seen being involved with trying to get a juror, well, let me ask you that, a juror after the fact, not influencing the juror during the process, but after the fact, you're the attorney for the client and you happen to get, there's a juror that comes to you from the last trial and says, you know what? I think this is bullshit. I want to speak out about it. And I just went along with this because this was my plan all along. Does exactly what Robin just said. And you're the attorney for the other. What do you do with that information? Do you run with it? I mean, you're not the one who had this strategy. This juror decided to go rogue and try to take the law into their own hands and control the whole trajectory of this damn thing. I mean, does that just throw their credibility out, you know, immediately if they're doing that? Or what? I don't know. This seems like it could be a very common scenario, considering the way that the world is viewing true crime and the fervor that people have for it.
Juror misconduct is one of the most frequent grounds on which convictions are overturned. And so a juror has some rules that they have to base their decision on the evidence and not on some strategy, not on some personal payoff that I get to get out of here, not on some, you know, thought that, oh, I'm going to get some attention or whatever after this if I do this kind of weird thing. I think it would qualify as juror misconduct and would likely result in some kind of reverse.
God. Yeah. So their misconduct, their goal of it would, I mean, could there be charges for a juror that admits to doing something like that? I mean, are they really doing anything illegal? Other than just being
a hindrance
to society.
Right. That's not always a crime. I've got some friends who are major hindrances. Yeah. They're free. But, you know, I think I can't think of any sort of criminal action. It wouldn't be tampering.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be tampering with a juror because it's yourself and you're not exerting influence over somebody else. I don't see a crime in that. I don't know.
I'm still looking up the last one. My AI is running slow on this because I'm asking all about these crazy questions about the juror intentionally undermining the process so they could go home finally, so they could actually reverse it the way they wanted. So it's actually coming in right now. So keep going, Tony.
Sorry. One more question. If this jury does come back hung, do we find out the final count or does the judge decide if that information gets out?
I would be doubtful that the public would find out. Sometimes when there is a hung jury, both sides want to know what the count was. You know, if it was 11 not guilty, one guilty, that may cause a DA to not retry the case. Whereas if it was 11 guilty, one not guilty, that'd be a good grounds to retry it. So it's pretty common for the attorneys to learn the split if the judge permits it. Public, not so much.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so here's what I found out. Holdouts get worn down. They do this like we just described. What happens in those cases? Almost nothing, because once the verdict is taken and the poll is clean, courts will not let a juror undo it by saying, I caved or I plan to talk later. That's the no impeachment rule, internal pressure fatigue, wanting to go home. That stays inside the room. So it wouldn't work.
It happens, though.
They try.
Yeah.
Fascinating what ifs, aren't they?
It is a lot of what ifs. That's the choose your own adventure version of the case.
Choose your own
today.
Ending, right?
All right. That'll wrap it up. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. Be sure to check out Robin's masterclass. It is available now. The link is going to be in the description. Robin.
Yeah, it's masterclass.com/Robin Dreek. It's all about behavior assessment and becoming the people everyone trusts. So if you're interested, check it out.
Thanks. All right, check that out. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. As always, thank you so much for being on and giving us your insight on Thursdays, as always. Until next time, for Eric, for Todd, and myself, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose CAPS. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At CAPS, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose CAPS. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At CAPS, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.